So welcome to this week's W3C CCG meeting. Today, we actually have an open agenda and quarterly review for the Q3 of 2023. But before we get to that, just want to quickly do some call of ethics and professional conduct reminder. Basically, let's continue to remain cordial and respectful to each other. And if you have any questions in regards to W3C's code of ethics and conduct, just let any of the cultures know. Quick IP note, anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributions to any CCG work items must be member of the CCG with full IPR agreement signed. Make sure you have a W3C account. And if you have encounter any problems, again, just let any of the cultures, Kimberly, Mike, and I know. All right, all the meetings, minutes, and audio recordings, these meetings are being recorded right now and automatically transcribed. We try to publish these meeting minutes and recordings within a few days. I think we have been relatively good at doing that in the past few months. If you have encountered any problems, again, just ping any of us. We use GG chat to cue speakers during the call, as well as to take minutes. You can type Q+ to add yourself to the queue or Q- to remove it. At any time, you can just type in Q? To see who is in the queue. All right, any introductions or reintroductions? If you're new to the community or you want to kind of reintroduce yourself and re-engage with the community, please feel free to unmute. All right, since we have an open agenda today, if you are feeling shy right now and you feel less shy later, feel free to unmute and introduce yourself at any time. All right, announcements and reminders. Any announcements and reminders? Kalia, you want to talk about the IIW? Oh, Manu, please.
Eric is in the queue in front of me, I think.
Yeah. Sorry, Eric, you want to go first?
Thank you. Happy Tuesday. Just a friendly reminder that Rebooting the Web of Trust is coming up September 18th through the 22nd in Cologne, Germany. I will put a link to the Eventbrite in the chat, and you can find out all the details and information there, including info about support and scholarships and so on. Thanks a bunch. That's it.
Thank you. All right, Manu?
Go ahead, Kalia. Sorry, I put myself at the end. Your audio is super distant, Kalia. Different mic, I guess. Nope, still very distant. I'll go until Kalia.
Yeah, we'll get Kalia back in just a second whenever Mike comes up.
So I've got four updates. The first one is that OID for VCI support has been added to the Chappie Playground. Since this is an open agenda today, I can do a short demo for those of you that are wondering what it looks like, but that addition was made last week. The Chappie Playground now supports multiple different protocols demonstrably, browser-to-browser exchange of credentials, both for web and native apps, OID4 credential exchange for issuance, and VC API exchanges. As well. So this is a demonstration that we continue to add protocols support to the playground. Can go into that a bit more later. The other just heads up to folks is that maintenance happened over the weekend on CCG infrastructure. The outcome, as we mentioned on the mailing list, was fairly boring. We are, after 3 years, only half of the way through our archive storage. It's super easy for us to add more storage. The system's working more or less okay. There are still issues with Safari and WebRTC and things like that that we are going to try and fix up towards the end of this year. And so, yeah, maintenance activity on our servers, this one that we're using right now, everything came back good on that. Next item is that there are new versions of multibase and multihash published. Let me get the link to that. So there are new versions of multibase and multihash that have been published. There's an ITF working group that's being formed to push some of the multi-formats work forward. So just a heads up on that. Finally, there was a privacy working group thing that happened. So Ping working group review that happened on the verifiable credential specifications. The verifiable credential specifications and, that has, resulted in a good kind of privacy security review outcome for the verifiable credential spec. So just a heads up there. Harrison, you might need to restart the transcriber since you left, the transcriber left as well. So you might need to turn on, closed captioning again. But that's it for the updates.
Cool. Yeah, Harrison, keep an eye out for transcriber to pop back up. I'm wondering, Mana, do you know what happens when the moderator gets bumped and comes back in? Do they keep their moderator?
I don't know. Let me see. Yeah, it's listing Harrison as a moderator, okay, so he should cool. be able to start subtitles again if he can hear this.
Kalia, you're up. Oh, I can just now barely hear you, but it's barely. Oh man. All right. Well, hopefully Kalia gets mic sorted out. in the meantime, just a quick note in case you're following kind of the underlying cryptography, a message was posted to the usual post-quantum groups if you're in those kind of crypto things. NIST should be publishing Dilithium and Sphinx Plus from a signature side, as well as Kyber for kind of final review like imminently, like within the next 30 days. So they have confirmed a timeline on that. So do be on the lookout for that, because that will then rapidly accelerate some things for usage, particularly Dilithium, I suspect, in the case of verifiable credentials. So, Kalia, do you want to give it a go again?
Hi, is that better?
Now, you're in a slightly bigger micro sub, since, to quote Ori from the chat, but it's barely audible. IIW is coming up. October 10th, 12th. Check it out. Be there if you like Kalia and all the other people that show up there who are all awesome. So hopefully that's a good advertisement for Kalia, because she knows it. Kind of that, not a rah-rah kind of person. But I actually highly approve of her activities there. OpenID, Open Wallet, Plugfest, etc. One note is the chairs here are coordinating with Kalia to go ahead and get a joint CCG intro session at IIW, et cetera. So we'll figure out something there so that if you're at IIW, we won't be necessarily missing all the normal festivities and stuff like that. So those details will be posted to the list well in advance, but just be aware of that. And as Dimitri noted in the chat, for those of us that are participants in this, the JFF Wallet Interop Plug Fest will be the day before, and that will be October 9th. Cool. Hopefully I hit all the high points there. Harrison, I see you're back. Anything else you want to note? I know we've got open agenda today. I'm not seeing anyone else except myself for the post-quantum note that I already made in the queue. So I think we're ready to move on into the main block of the meeting here. Today we had planned on doing just a quarter, you know, once a quarter as CCG. We plan on running basically an open agenda. And a little bit of quarterly view, couple of notes from the chairs on things that are going on. It usually gets summarized up by the agenda anyways. But it's really a forum that can run, as long as we need to for the rest of the 40 minutes we have available, or, as short as, desired, but really to go through and identify what's next. Are we missing work items? Are we, I mean, basically what's going on, right? And how can we as chairs and how can we as a group serve each other better and continue to expand? Obviously, we've seen some focus change over the last couple of years here in CCG, right, where it's now broadened out a bit. There's a lot of activity going on in the space. There's a lot of activity going on in other software development organizations, right? There was a great thread posted this morning, mentioning, verifiable credentials over in the new identity discuss, list over in, IETF, right? So we're seeing a lot of interesting, conversation in the space and in stuff that incubated here, or emerged out of here, or emerged really, I think a lot of times from IIW and then, you know, some concrete work here and then on. So that to me is really fascinating and exciting, but it also means like what's next, right? What's new and what's coming down the pike. So with that, I'm going to shut up and just monitor Q and, turn it over to the community. Manu, since I'm on mute.
Thanks, Mike. I wanted to kind of talk a bit about interop and plug fests and stuff like that. So like, you know, Jobs for the Future plug fest number 3 is happening right now, which is great. And we recently, for those of you that haven't seen the kind of, one of the interop, you know, platforms that's being used for the plug fest. This is the Chappie Playground. And the latest thing that we just added is, this new feature. For OID4. So if you go up to this little gear icon up here, you can now switch between different protocols. So this is all three protocols that we know of right now. We could add DIDCOM in the future if someone's willing to put in that work. But we've got browser to browser, which includes all these different issuer platforms that we can use for that using VC API. We've got VC API exchanges. So this is if you have a native wallet. And then we also have OID4 supported as well. So this is an example of the OID issuance flow with DID authentication. So this is that was the Chappie wallet selector popping up with OID4. This is doing a DID authentication over OID4. And this is receiving a permanent resident card into the digital wallet over OID4. Now, the only thing that OID4 doesn't have is the ability to notify the website that, you know, in band that you've gotten your credential. But if I go over to my wallet, this was it before I got that permanent resident card. And this is me with the permanent resident card in the wallet. So all that to say, we've got this, you know, infrastructure that we are investing in as a community through JFF PlugFest 3. We hope to continue investing in that infrastructure, or we will be through the use of multiple different protocols. And I guess the general question, you know, to the group is like, what can we add? You know, there are plans to add more types of verifiable credentials. There are plans to support more protocols for verification. We are currently integrating, you know, issuer platforms and looking at integrating more verifier platforms using VC API. So general question to the community is like, you know, is this a useful thing for the community to look at and work on? And if so, what should we think about adding to it to demonstrate the sorts of interop that we have today? That's it.
If I could successfully click the mute button, I think Ori is up next.
Thanks. Manu, could you talk a bit about like why OpenID Connect for verifiable credential issuance was added to the Chappie playground? You know, what are the use cases for it? Who, like, you know, how much support does it have? What different kinds of companies are kind of clamoring to use that particular delivery mechanism? Just like some more of like a business context around why that protocol was added, you know, because we've had people have been talking about DIDCOM in this context for so long. Why was OpenID Connect for verifiable credential issuance added before DIDCOM? You know, what's the sort of expected users? Why is it, important? More at a business level and, you know, from the perspective of, you know, in the three-party model, which issuers are really excited about OpenID Connect for verifiable credential issuance? Which verifiers are really excited about it? I guess that sentence doesn't really make sense because that protocol is only from the issuer to the holder. So again, then maybe the next question would be, when will support for OpenID Connect for verifiable presentations be added? What are folks who are interested in OpenID Connect for verifiable credential issuance, like thinking about OpenID Connect for verifiable presentations? Sorry, that's a lot. Really just business context around who's going to use it. That's it.
Yeah. Phil, do you mind if I let Manu respond to Ori's questions there? Or do you want to tag on first? Phil? All right. Maybe we lost. Okay. Awesome. Yeah. And it definitely, Manu, I would love some comments on OIDC for VP. That would certainly actually, from my standpoint as an implementer, get me interested about the Chappie playground. So.
Yeah. Let's see. Why did we put it in there? For a while now, since 2015, so going on 8 years now, Chappie has always been protocol agnostic. It just so happens that the first thing, the easiest thing to implement was the browser-to-browser thing because you didn't need a bunch of back-end servers and heavy protocols and things like that to implement it. There's a group of companies that are excited about OID for VCI. And to be clear, one of our customers really wants it. That was the driving force between us, you know, implementing it, right? It's just, there was a customer, that wanted to see it happen. And, so we had to roll up our sleeves and implement it. Having done that, we are not fans of OID for VCI. However, it is going to probably be one of the protocols that exists in the ecosystem along with a bunch of other protocols. So this is us trying to keep pace with what various different stovepipes in the verifiable credential ecosystem is doing by just supporting everything, right? And by supporting everything, clearly it makes the ecosystem way more complex than any one of us would want in each one of those stovepipes, but that's kind of where we are. So Chappie Playground is just reflecting reality. We have been contacted, for example, by a number of companies that are like, hey, I have this super proprietary protocol and I want you to build it into the Chappie playground. And our response to that is Chappie is protocol agnostic. So while we do not agree with your super proprietary protocol, because Chappie's protocol agnostic, you can list your protocol in the protocol selector. And if a wallet says that they support your proprietary protocol, Chappie will support that too. So, this is just what I'm trying to highlight here, Ori, is just like, you know, Chappie's agnostic and that's what's being built out. And we're building the features out based on, what we're seeing some customers, request and some of the ecosystem, suggest. It's also, you know, just to be, you know, clear, we're also trying to like, tamp down the temperature in the room a bit, by saying, you know, the fight doesn't need to be over Chappie and what it does. The fight could be about protocols, but, one of the things that we have found with, implementing all three that I showed. So, you know, I showed, the selector here, being able to select between, you know, browser to wallet, VC API exchanges and OID4 VCI, is that you can mix and match protocols both on the issuing side and the presentation side. So today you can go into the Chappie playground and you can issue using OID4 VCI and then you can present using the browser VPR stuff or VC API in a couple of weeks. So it's kind of neat. Like it kind of shows like, hey, we got the data model right because you can use different protocols to move the same data model over it, and you can even mix and match pickup versus delivery, and that's demonstrable today through Chappie Playground. With respect to OID4 VP, we didn't implement that yet. We will, but it's moving too much. We couldn't get to a profile that at least the people that we're talking with in the JFF Plugfest could like agree to. And because, you know, OpenID is like this grab bag of different things you can do, you have to profile it before you can use it. And there is no profile that we have seen agreed upon yet to make that work. Once that appears in some fashion, that's more than just like one or two companies, you know, interoperating on a profile, we'll put that into the Chappie playground and it'll have, you know, protocol support there as well. As for the issuers, you know, other people can speak to this. Frankly, the customers that we have that are issuers don't really care. They're just like, get my credential out there in a format that's useful. And, because there's all this confusion in the marketplace about which format's going to be useful, just make it so that I can issue everything under the sun and verify everything under the sun. And so that's where, you know, because of a failure in general of all of these communities to define, you know, a small set of ways of doing this, you know, customers are now asking for every conceivable iteration because they don't know which one is going to win in the end and not. So that's it. Hopefully that answered some of your questions, Ori.
Yeah, I'm going to have some follow-up questions on that. I see Brent, I think, had some follow-up questions in the chat, so we'll get to that too. But Phil, you want to go?
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Great. This is actually follow-up, Manu, to your question about the functionality or uses of the Chappie Playground. And I guess one of my questions was, if this is intended to be a place for people to take their credentials that they're generating, they're creating, and add it to the Playground to test it in issuing and et cetera, functionality that you have there, is there something that would be useful to both you and the people managing the playground as well as everybody else to document whose credentials they are and how to contact the individuals who are using or have added that credential in an easy way, or maybe it's already there and I'm not seeing it. Thanks.
Manny, you want to respond?
Yeah, although I'm concerned about eating up too much time on this one topic. Real quick to answer, I'll try to get very brief with the responses. So, there is a VC examples repo in the credential handler project on GitHub, and all of the things that you see showing up here were pull requests onto the credentials in here. So people can go in, raise PRs, you know, we'll make sure it's in the right shape. And then if it is, we'll go ahead and add the credential to this list. We do have plans to add many, many more credentials, which means this interface is going to become unusable at some point when there are too many. And then we'll probably break it down into different categories. It's all dependent on, you know, people contributing examples. So all that to say, yes, there's an examples repo. Yes, you can put in, you can add whatever you want to there. Chappy Playground will take care of, you know, serving the contexts and all that kind of stuff for the demo credential. And then there's even a custom credential URL here that you can just take whatever VC you have and dump it in here, and the Playground will issue that credential if you use like one of the issuer backends. So your best bet is to just use the issuer backend that's built into the JavaScript code. But if you add your own issuer backend here, you can use those issuer backends to issue the VC. So again, like, you know, not every combination works or will work, but this definitely lets you figure out, like, if I create a credential, you know, will at least these sets of issuers be able to issue that credential into a format that my wallet, whichever wallet I pick to pick up the credential, will understand. I'll stop there.
Cool. Dimitri?
Sure. Just a brief answer to Ori about business use case. So part of the reason that the Digital Bazaar has been kind enough to add the OpenID 4 star support for Chappy Playground has to do with the Jobs for the Future Foundation's Plugfests. So the third Plugfest is dealing with wallets and verification. And there's a handful of companies that are using OpenID for VCI, for issuance, and they wanted a convenient way to provision wallet so that, you know, that they can display and verify the credentials and so on. As far as OIDC for VP support, those same companies would love to see OIDC for VP support at Chappy Playground. The current stumbling block, the current drama is that OpenID Foundation has proposed removing support for presentation exchange from OID for VP. And so there's been a lot of, and specifically, removing support for the, requesting multiple credentials in a OIDC for VP request, which kind of threw a lot of the OpenID using Plugfest participants in disarray. Now, since then, the Diff Presentation Exchange group and OIDF have talked. There is a OIDC for VP version 2.1 in progress with like reduced capabilities to address some of the OIDF, feedback. But like, I suspect myself and many other, OpenID fans are hoping that'll get sorted out so that Chappy Playground can support OID for VP. That's it.
Cool. It's sort of like always that XKCD comic about, you know, five standards and then there being six, et cetera. But, Manu, I guess I think most of my questions have been answered, but I guess I did want to clarify that's all linked data, you know, 1.1 VCs, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Yeah,
because that's what most of the PlugFest folks are using. But yeah. But again, Chappie Playground is protocol agnostic. If people wanted to do other formats, once the handoff happens from Chappie to the app, it's up to the app to use whatever format they want.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, we could do MDoc, right? Using the handoff if we wanted.
Yeah, that would definitely be interesting. For sure, definitely pull Measure.io from that list because we're kind of deprecating all of our 1.1 stuff in advance of moving into 2.0, et cetera, and certainly are moving away from linked data proofs for a variety of reasons, or at least any publicly exposed ones. We had to shut them off because of some concerns there. So please do pull us when you get a chance. Let's see, Ori.
Yeah, I really thank Manu. Thanks for the answer. I do feel like the business framing still, even with Dimitri's comments, I don't, and you know, I understand not wanting to name names, you know, here, but yeah, I still feel like the business framing around the value of OpenID Connect for VC issuance is weak, and it should be stronger. And I get the in some sense, the value of the Chappie Playground with having all of this configuration and optionality is great from a testing perspective. But like you said, Manu, it's sort of like one of the challenges the industry is facing is there's so many options and the existing interface is sort of perpetuating that by forwarding them directly to the consumers. So, you know, when we add OpenID Connect for VP to that list of protocols and continue to be both format agnostic and protocol agnostic in a world, you know, after verifiable credentials version 2, where the format, potential formats are unbounded based on media type registrations. It seems like we're kind of heading, deeper into the woods there on way too many formats, way too many protocols, and the community seems to be kind of doubling down on not making recommendations and instead sort of forwarding a la carte kind of configuration opportunity to the ecosystem. So I wonder, you know, for verifiable credentials version 2, if it's not too late to turn that boat around and say there shall be only one format and, you know, it shall be, you know, data integrity proofs and everything's going to be simpler because of that. And yes, you know, the tent isn't bigger, but at least you can understand what's in the tent now. Just floating that idea for consideration since it's an open call, I think, it's sometimes doing the right thing doesn't make everyone happy, but it's still the right thing to do. And I feel like avoiding conflict can often lead to longer term conflict than tackling conflict directly and just being right or wrong. So I hope that sort of makes sense, but I am sort of concerned that we are acknowledging that these problems exist in the community. And instead of saying, you know, all right, well, we're going to make some enemies and we're going to make some concrete recommendations and we're not going to support, you know, every animal under the sun. We seem to be sort of taking a politically sensitive approach and furthering that pain, indefinitely. So, yeah, that's just my comment, but I appreciate the answer and, you know, really great work on the Chappie Playground. I think it's a really valuable part of our ecosystem and community. And to the extent that it does show all the different configuration options, it's also a frightening reflection of our current image. That's it.
Awesome. Thanks, Ori. Manu.
Yes. So I do not disagree with you, Ori. I think I just agree with a lot of what you said. To make people feel a little bit better about the selection, you know, issues here. One of the things that if you look closely at what Chappie Playground is doing, it allows you to multi-select protocols. So it allows you to invoke a digital wallet where you say, as an issuer, I support protocols X, Y, and Z. And if that wallet supports any of those protocols, it'll show up in the Chappie selector. And the benefits to this, so I'm trying to already speak to your, like, we don't want to put all this optionality in front of the user. Totally agree. We do not want to do that. They don't care. The issuers don't care. The verifiers don't care. They just wanted like a really nice, you know, experience. But at the same time, we, meaning Digital Bazaar, very hesitant to try and pour gasoline onto a fire that's already burning, right? So, you know, splitting communities in half or making the hard decisions, as you say, could lead us somewhere good, but it could also very easily lead us somewhere really bad, right? So what we're trying to do here, at least with the Chappie messages, the message that the wallet gets is like, the issuer will speak any of these protocols if you want. And if we do something like that, then all of a sudden, the number of wallets that will support receiving a credential from that issuer go way up, right? So it's not an A versus B. It's a yes and approach. It's a, you can do A and you can do B and you can do C. Wallet, pick one and you will get your credential. And we expect the same to happen with the presentation part of this. Now there are some limits to that. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to kind of, you know, pull everyone into a much larger boat, and not kind of throw anyone, overboard. And so that's why we've taken the approach that we have. So we think that you can still have a decent experience and support multiple protocols at the same time. And at least that's what we're seeing our customers ask us for, because they are being lobbied by all kinds of different people saying that X is going to win and Y is going to win. And what that does is it pushes them into a position where they're like, I don't know who's telling the truth and who's lying. And so the only way I can mitigate against that risk, those risks, is to just support everything. That's it.
Cool. BBL.
Hey, hi. Sorry, I've been away for a long time, and I'm actually also writing a wallet, so it's actually so I don't know why I haven't been coming to these meetings, but I'm moving towards it, partly because I'm interested in using Stez logic for credentials, which is like from the 1990s, and there's lots of improvements on that front. And so I've been looking at, perhaps this is like a little bit off topic here, but just so you can redirect me to when I should speak more on this, I've been looking at the verifiable credentials 1.1, and I'm just seeing that you're already speaking about 2. So, and I'm seeing like there's a problems mapping this to N3 in a way that makes sense. So, I probably need a bit of directing to knowing what's happening here.
No, thanks so much. I definitely, what I would say recommendation wise is, just post to the list. I'm sure someone will paste it in the chat, if I don't get to it before them. But definitely, post to the list saying, here's what I'm thinking about. That's usually the best way to go ahead and get a conversation started around specifics and then getting directed and narrowed in. So hopefully that's helpful. We're seeing a lot of wallet activity, as you can imagine, especially between SVIP funding stuff going out and a lot of European stuff going on, et cetera. So it's going to be that side's going to be really exciting, as is, honestly, like your system-to-system non-human-in-the-loop cases are blowing up right now, right? So it's going to be very, very interesting to see where this all goes.
Great. Thank you.
Manu, happily switch topics. Might be muted, Manny.
I'm sorry, I was totally on mute. Yes, moving on to something else. Polling the community full on the work items that we're currently working on, just to see like where do people want us to focus. Getting that same poll out to everyone else, you know, DIF, ITF, you know, CCG, whatever. It's just an open poll. What technologies are missing? Like, you know, is the work we're doing on verifiable issuers and verifiers, should we focus on that? Should we focus on render method? Like getting kind of a ranking priority ordering from people, I think would be helpful based on the number of work items that we're on. Is that something the chairs are like considering? Like
certainly considering. We're definitely having background conversations on that. Honestly, some of it, and I know there's a number of folks who are on some of these lists and we're at 117, but like with the identity discuss side, and I think there's some of the let's wait and see for a week or two what's going on at IETF on this topic. Because as that group solidifies a little bit, that's going to really help us understand what needs incubation, what needs kind of pretest before stuff goes over to, you know, NID or, you know, possibly moves up in W3C to a specific working group, et cetera. So I think that's kind of where we're at on that side. Because stuff is, definitely a little bit in flux, right? Where is all of this going to land? I don't know if that makes sense, Manu, but that's kind of my sense of being, you know, from, you know, being engaged across IETF and to a degree in DIF and some others. And certainly here at W3C is just like, you know, what the future is feels very, very nebulous. And some of that is because there is a lot of confusion, right, in the space. Now, as far as infrastructure, definitely, Manu, I am happy to float. I know you've had some thoughts on the YouTube side. I don't know if you want to discuss that, and maybe we could take a poll on that before we close the meeting out today.
Sure. I was waiting on the chairs to be okay with having that conversation. So you're good, Mike, Harrison, Kimberly?
Totally. Yep.
Okay. All right. There. So, over the past, couple of months, Nick, who's new to the community, volunteered to take all of our meetings since 2014 and, put them out on YouTube, just put them out on a, you know, on a channel, with summaries, auto transcription, all that kind of stuff, and to effectively take our infrastructure and automate it more. So now we finally got to the point where we didn't need to pick scribes for every single meeting, and granted the transcriptions are of questionable quality. But based on the new stuff coming out with like ChatGPT and Bard and things like that, you can get some pretty surprisingly good meeting summaries and, simplifications of the transcription. So we've been playing around with that for the past couple of months. Nick specifically has taken all of the recordings that we have for the past 2 years, and he's written a bunch of infrastructure that will auto-upload them to a YouTube channel. So specifically what happens is it will take the raw video that's being recorded. It will run it through Whisper, which is a local transcription tool. So that's not being uploaded to Google or anyone else. And then it will use something like ChatGPT to read through the transcript and summarize it in a paragraph. And that auto summarization goes in the summary that's posted to YouTube. So that's working today, but we didn't want to flip the switch for that on because it raises a whole bunch of questions around if people are okay with video being uploaded to YouTube. So, you know, YouTube's proprietary. We've had a number of people say don't use a proprietary system to do that. Whisper is local only. So, you know, we're not uploading the video to be, you know, used in training models for, you know, these organizations. But of course, the second the transcription goes out to ChatGPT, ChatGPT is learning off of it. In the second we upload the video to YouTube, Google is using it to train Bard, right? So, that's the world we live in today. Just to be clear, we have been in that world for a while. We publish our transcripts to the web. We publish our video and audio to the web. It is on a server that the community controls, but ChatGPT is, you know, crawling the web, as is Bard, and everything else crawls the web and learns from anything that it can get access to. So the question was, do we want to make it easier for people to find our content and watch our videos? And, you know, how comfortable are we with, auto summarization and things of that nature? We will clearly not take any action until we have, like, you know, some kind of consent, from the community. So that's kind of where we are now. I don't know if anyone has any thoughts they'd like to share on that. On enabling that feature.
Watching the queue for any comments here. And if we see no comments, Manu, I would say definitely let's get a draft proposal and maybe get it out to the list or something like that around that. My inclination as a chair, and I can let, I think both Kimberly and Harrison are on, is that this would be highly desirable. And in, as Wendy is noting, right, in the rare event that it does happen, we do occasionally get folks that request off the record, right? We've had that from the, particularly from the advisory board, W3C and some others, cause sometimes it just can't happen. And in those cases, we just need to make sure that there's a provision to, prevent that from going up. And cause I think that's a very fair and respectful item, to ensure we have covered. Manu.
Yes, that's an excellent question. So Wendy, we do have people, request off the record. And when that has happened here, it happens very rarely. We just turn recording off. And once we turn recording off, it shuts everything else that I talked about off, right? So it is possible for us to have meetings that are off the record. What we can't do easily is stop the video recording and stop the transcription just for a short period of time. We just don't support that right now, unfortunately. And the tooling just doesn't support it. Like, nothing that we're talking about is set up to do that. So, it is possible for us to also not record the meeting, but turn transcription on and then turn transcription off when people don't want what they, you know, what they're going to say said. But again, like, it happens so rarely, in these meetings that I don't think it's been a heavy demand from the community. So, yes, we can do, you know, off the record meetings, entire meetings. You just stop recording and you turn the transcription off and everything else is shut off at that point. But it kind of goes counter to our desire to be as open and transparent as possible about the things that go on in all of the meetings and task forces that we have in CCG. I hope that helped.
I think so. Let me take a look at, cause I'm seeing a thanks from Wendy there. I saw Harrison say he's definitely a thumbs up on this. Kimberly, it may have flown by in the chat. I don't know.
No, I didn't say it in the chat, but I am definitely on board as well.
Okay. Awesome. So yeah, so I think, Manu, I think your answer to that is, yeah, chair's definitely in favor. I think the reality of the world we live in is if we're posting public meetings, especially to GitHub, I mean, that's being sucked into, many, many things, right? So as long as we have that ability to redact things and prevent things from going out, in the event that something's not recorded, I think that's the big question. Kalia.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey.
Advanced work. I wanted to switch topics if that's okay. I put that on the list, a little while ago and mentioned it in announcements, but maybe we can have a little bit of a discussion, which is a memorial for IAW, the community around IAW, of which this group is a big part of, but not the only part. Someone kindly came in and reorged this. I rearranged it back into the order of, like, order of death. If we do it that way, it's easier to maintain instead of alphabetical order. And I was wondering if, well, one, I'm just checking that we haven't missed anybody that should be on this list. And two, I'm looking for volunteers to take on, you know, if you have it in you to read one of the people on the list and write a paragraph for our memorial page. Like, I don't want to cut and paste the New York Times write up about somebody. I want our, you know, someone to kind of condense it into a paragraph or two. So that's what I'm putting out there. Love feedback and support in getting this together, as a community. Sort of honoring thing.
Seeing definitely plus ones, and I see Manu asking like how we can help. I think the main thing is go take a look, see if you know folks in the community that have passed, etc. Please do make sure that, you know, we get that over to Kalea or into the docs so that we can add them in. And then I think, Kalea, you were looking explicitly for, is there thoughts on how we can digitally display this in a good, usable way that's actually meaningful
so,
for folks? Not
so
sure.
So we're gonna actually create a page on IIW's website.
Okay.
It's going to be like a memorial tab. That makes sense. But what I would love support in, so I am not the only memorial writer, is for people to raise their hand and going, oh, I'll read about Bob Morgan and I'll write his paragraph for our memorial page based on. I put links in, if you look the document I shared, there's links to various memorials of people, so it's sort of like take an hour, read about the person, write a paragraph. I guess we cheat and use ChatGPT these days. Anyways, is that clear?
That is definitely clear, at least to me. So no, definitely appreciate the ask, and you know, not always a pleasant topic, but I think it's something, especially given the last couple of years of interesting global pandemics and things like that. It's a really great thing to do. And we've been losing a lot of great folks lately, unfortunately, in the tech world. So, all right. Well, we're rolling up towards the end, top of the hour here. I'm going to watch the queue for another 30 seconds just in case there's any, last postings out. And, if not, we will say happy Tuesday to everyone and say this was a wonderful meeting. Appreciate all the engagement. Manu, look forward to more interesting things to come. And as always, and definitely from the rest of the community as well, because I think there's a lot of very, very interesting stuff going on. I will note, if you're not on the Identity Discuss list over at IETF, definitely hop on there if you've got a technical background, or even if you have a non-technical background, just a business background, but bear in mind that IETF is a little different than W3C. So definitely read Tal of IETF if you're new to IETF. I'll pull up the link to Identity Discuss real quick and post it in. Find that list. It's hiding somewhere. I'll have to dig it. You can go find it on the lists link, though. So if you're not familiar with ITF, you can go there. So with that, Harrison, probably good to stop recording, stop transcribers, etc. And thanks all, and we'll see.